From the heart of the Forest City, Blackburn Media presents the Craig Needles Podcast, looking at the biggest stories in London and around the world and how they impact you. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
Craig Needles Podcast here on a Wednesday, and I talked about it briefly on yesterday's podcast that we got some news kind of right as I was wrapping up the recording of yesterday's podcast that Ed Holder, the mayor of London, is not going to seek re-election. He is going to retire from electoral politics with the end of this term, which comes to a close in November. And the mayor of London, Ed Holder, has been kind enough to join me here on the Craig Needles Podcast to talk about that today. Hello, Ed. Thank you so much for doing this. Glad that you give me a few minutes today. Thanks.
Craig, it's always good to chat.
So you've made the announcement. You made the decision that you're not going to run for re-election. What was the logic? What was the thought process behind making that choice?
I appreciate the question. Look, a number of folks know, and maybe most don't, but I had undergone some pretty significant surgery a month ago. And as a result, I was home for 4 weeks on the direction of my doc. In fact, when I saw my doctor this past Friday, he said, I can absolutely justify you taking another 4 weeks off just to repair. And I said, well, I can't. I've got to get back to work. But during that period, Craig, I was thinking over this last 3.5 years in this role and basically what it's taken to do this. You know, I used to be in federal politics and was a minister of the crown. I was in business for 30 plus years. And everything that I've been involved in, I've put my heart and soul in, and I expect nothing less from myself. And then I started to think about what would be involved in a commitment for the next period, and it'd be the same heart and soul. It has to be, but I'm not sure I could give it all. And listen, I've never been compared to an athlete in my life, but if you imagine a peak performance athlete, they've got to be at the top of their game physically, mentally. And something like this was pretty dramatic for me. And I just didn't feel that I could give it that kind of commitment. So it was as honest as that and direct. And I thought, if I can't make the commitment that I think I must give and that Londoners deserve, council and administrative folks expect, to share a John F. Kennedy line, then I need to pass the torch to a new generation. And that's where I see this going.
Yeah, and I think that's a good and healthy place to be in, I think, for the municipality, for yourself, for everybody else involved to say, hey, you know what, wait a minute, maybe it's time for me to step back and for somebody else to do this job. And, you know, you've got a family you want to see and you want to spend time with, and the mayor of London's a demanding job, and it's certainly been a demanding job in the four-year span in which you've been doing it. We've been dealing with a global pandemic and a couple of other really awful things that we'll talk about in a minute, but some good stuff too. It's a demanding gig, so you've got to be able to put a lot into it, obviously, right?
Well, I would say that, you know, it's, you know, we can say it's a 24/7 job, and that's true and not true. I recall with the Woodman explosion and all that involved, I was called at 1 a.m. to say this has happened. And then we had our first meeting at our emergency ops center in Byron at 6 a.m. So in the sense of being on call, but I would say rigorously, it's a 70-hour-a-week position at least. And I've been able to do that. And again, run at a fairly high threshold. And so I've been delighted to do it. And as I say, as a result of what I've been dealing with now, it's you realize that you may not be able to sustain that. And I think that's not fair. I don't think it's fair to London. And so I recognize that. And I let my wife know on the weekend what I decided. She's been amazing. She would go with me either way. I would tell you prior to the surgery, I had every expectation that I'd be running again. I you know, it takes an organization, which I had. It takes money, which, you know, we raised a significant amount of money last time. And as an incumbent, it would have been, I think, easier, I think. And a great volunteer base and great support from the community. So it wasn't even an issue of running and being concerned whether I'd win or lose. Listen, I know what it's like to lose. I ran federally and was an MP two terms. And in 2015, my departure wasn't voluntary. And that's the nature of politics.
That's how it goes, yeah.
It is. But Craig, this time that wasn't a factor at all. I think this council has done some great things for the city under some very trying circumstances. So running and being concerned about the result was the last thing on my plate. And that's why Judith's been so good about it. She said, whatever you choose to do, just let me know. So I told her on the weekend and she said, fine. And then I
was she a little happier than fine. Let's be honest. I think that if I were her, I'd think to myself, okay, well, he's going to be around a little more. That's good, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's a two-edged sword.
Touche.
You know, yes, you're around, and why are you around so much? I don't know what that feels like yet.
That's a good point.
Maybe that'll be another interview another day. But whether she likes it or not, she's stuck with me. But she and our daughter still run our cupcake and chocolate business, and who knows, maybe I'll deliver cupcakes. I don't know. I'll be the razzle dazzle delivery man. I'm not sure.
If I order cupcakes, I'll be looking for you at my front porch.
Yeah, there you go.
So what do you think is next for you? If not cupcake delivery man, what's next for you? What's next for the family?
Well, I'm only playing on that because frankly, the next thing on the agenda is 6 months of hard work here. Mm-hmm. I've never believed that I should look out much more beyond that, because then you take your eye off the ball, and I don't intend to do that. I'm going to be paid for the next 6 months. I'm going to work for the next 6 months, and I'm going to put as much as I physically am able to into the role. And that's all I'm focused on today.
I think it's,
by the way, I should be looking up at the camera. I keep looking at this picture of you with your little daughter, Charlotte, and the little screensaver shot you've got there. So like, if I'm looking down, it's because I'm looking at her smiling face.
It's okay. Better her than me. Put it that way. Yeah. No, that's my picture on Zoom. We're doing this conversation on Zoom. It's Charlotte and I from her first Jays game. So I want to say that's the 2018 season. She saw Mike Trout go 4 for 4 and hit a home run. So yeah, that's not a bad first game.
Go Jays.
Yeah. So what about, you know, you mentioned the next 6 months. What are the priorities for London over the next 6 months then? What are you going to be working on here?
There's a few things that are critically important to the community and that this council is really driven to deal with. One is the issue of affordable housing. You'll know that in the last Chamber of Commerce State of the City, I announced the goal, accepted fully by council and staff, of 3,000 affordable housing units for the city. I'm equally concerned about the state of housing in this city, period. You'll know that we have got some tremendous successes in our economy. We've got Maple Leaf Foods opening up soon. Aspire Food Group has recently completed its building. We have Glen Dimplex Americas that's coming to London. Medicom, the PPE glove manufacturing facility, is creating its manufacturing base in London. We've got next door Amazon, where London will be a big beneficiary. So I've asked for an inventory of what our housing situation looks like from the development community standpoint. Who has applications approved, who has applications pending, what the status of those are. And we're going to be looking at what that means in terms of affordable housing, and what that means in terms of more in general housing, period. Because the other thing that you'll know is the announcement by the current Progressive Conservative government of WSIB moving to London, thousands of jobs coming here, well-paying jobs. And you know what that means is we've got a place for them, find a place, and we will. And I don't mean just in terms of the commercial component, but residentially. So there's a lot of work that has to be done on the housing front, in terms of broad terms housing and in terms of affordable housing. I think the other thing that I think of in terms of transit is the electrification of the bus fleet. I know today the Transit Commission is receiving a report on the electrification of the bus fleet and what that can mean. So I've had some thoughts around that, but it's certainly something that I'm committed to and I think is truly important for this city. Again, through strong commitment from all of council, we endorsed the Climate Emergency Action Plan. What does that mean? I think this is a big step towards ensuring that London as a government does its part, as we ask Londoners to do their part as well. So I think of those two things around transportation. I think of that or the issue around jobs in the economy. I want to pursue with the provincial government the second installation of GO trains into our city. That's a commitment that they have made. I think that's a big, big commitment and will allow other communities to come to London, allows London to have more flexibility out of London proper. I want to see VIA reinstate the trains that they restricted as a result of the pandemic. And I have some optimism that over the next number of weeks, if not days, they'll go back to resuming normal scheduling. And then when that's done, I want to have another discussion with VIA about more train travel throughout Southwestern Ontario. You may know that I chaired the Southwest Ontario Transportation Task Force, and we provided that to that report very recently to the Minister of Transportation. And we talk about everything from rail to air to roads, ferries, bridges, things that matter to our community and beyond. We're a major city, and I think that one of the things that we have to adjust to as a community is how we deal with big city issues, and they are certainly there. So there's a lot that we have to consider over the next number of months. The job's never done, but we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving forward. It's all we can do.
Yeah, that's all we can do. I do want to talk about some of the things that happened during your time as mayor, and obviously you mentioned some of the highlights there. But you know, there were some clearly difficult times too. There was and is a global pandemic, and when you became mayor in October of 2018, no one knew what COVID-19 was, and it wound up being sort of the dominant theme of your time in office. When you look back on how the city handled the pandemic and what happened sort of at your office during the pandemic, what are the thoughts that come to mind?
Well, you are correct that nobody anticipated the pandemic. Probably the most dramatic thing that's happened as a community, as a broad community, mm-hmm. and communities across the country and around the world. I mean, so many people died, and we've had hundreds in London who died. So it's real. And I will tell you that for all this city's been able to accomplish, notwithstanding the pandemic, my hat's off to administration. My hat's off to fellow council members for their leadership. I give a big nod to business, small, medium-sized, large businesses that in many cases struggled to survive and some didn't. To individual Londoners, I had to change everything the way that they have done. And the implications of that, do you work from home? Do you come into work? Are you able to come into work? What are the restrictions that other orders of government are applying, or even our own government, in terms of what people are or are unable to do? I would say the pandemic has been certainly the most dramatic in that sense. But yet, you know, notwithstanding that, London, Ontario, fastest growing economy in the country, west of BC, in the country. Mm-hmm. Our population growth is staggering. Our new businesses, and I mentioned several already, staggering. A lot of positives, but certainly under the shadow of the pandemic, it's not been easy. And my hat goes off to business for their perseverance And I thank them.
Yeah.
I thank Londoners as well. Been through a lot.
And this is something I'll say, and you mentioned this, during the campaign, not in these exact words, but I think that, amongst your strengths as a politician is, no one goes out and promotes London better and can work a room and promote London better than someone like you, Ed. And you didn't get to really do a lot of that room working from March of 2020 onwards, right? So that kind of would have been an adjustment too for the job, I would think, right?
Well, there's different ways to do it,
though, that's
Craig. So I'm going to come back and challenge that some. So if you can't do it in face-to-face meetings, it's not unlike this Zoom call here. Yep. There's different ways. I mean, could I come into your shop and do it there? Sure. But during the pandemic, when that wasn't an option, so what did we do? We did Zoom calls. We did various social media platforms to connect and because communication is important. One of the things I said when I was running that it was really important is strong relations amongst all orders of government. I felt that one of the things I could bring was a level of relationship with the provincial and with the federal government. Heck, the Prime Minister and I were elected together in 2008 at dinner. I remember when I had a meeting with him about General Dynamics Land Systems because there were some questions. And I went up to Ottawa and I met him. And I thought it was going to be a confidential meeting until all the media was there. So it wasn't. That's why I can talk about it. But my relationship with our own government members and opposition members at the federal level and cabinet ministers has been superb. And they respect London and they treat us well. And I respect those relationships. We just had to do it somewhat differently when the pandemic started, and no different provincially with the Progressive Conservative government. Mm-hmm. My relationship with Premier Ford, who I'll be honest, I knew, but not all that well prior to becoming mayor of the city, has really been enhanced. And ironically, we have one London area MPP, the Elgin, in fact, we don't have one today.
That's true.
But Elgin, Middlesex, London was our, if you will, our government connection. But I had great dealings with the opposition as well. We had three opposition MPPs who were always respectful and mindful. And I've just appreciated the relationships that I've had at the provincial level with the Premier and his ministers. And I can tell you, dealing with Minister McNaughton, who's responsible for WSIB and his labor portfolio, that has been, for some time now, a very healthy discussion. Of course, we couldn't say anything until it was done, but it's done. And I think that that will bode incredibly well for this city at so many levels. So I think relationships with all orders of government, and then relationships with my own colleagues, where, as you'll know, in council, we didn't have in council meetings. In fact, mm-hmm. The only people present typically was one clerk and the chair of the committee and maybe one other person. And even at our most recent council meeting, we had, let me think, in addition to myself, five council members, and the others came in via Zoom. And that option is still available to them. So all the pandemic did was change the way we did our communicating and our business. But there's nothing as good as a personal visit, but it can be very inefficient. But Zoom, phone calls, constant communicating, there's never a bad time to do that. And I think the issue of relationship building it's been reinforced to me as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from there. And you know, you mentioned relationships, and we all have sort of a relationship to each other. We're all Londoners, and I think of some of the difficult times that have happened when you've been mayor that were not pandemic related. Of course, my mind goes to Alexander Stemp, the young girl guide who was tragically killed in the collision, and of course the Afzal family and the murder that happened there. And those have been sort of events for Londoners that were really, really difficult and very hard for us to sort of wrap our minds around and come to grips with. As you were mayor through tragic times like that, what do you take away from that? Or what are your memories going to be of those times?
Well, we all remember those tragedies and how we felt at the time. And it was so painful for London, and certainly painful for me personally. But, you know, I think of the families impacted, the Stempel family, the Afzal family, Jan Faisal. And we're coming up to the anniversary of that horrific tragedy. And London is going to do something to honor the family in a very conspicuous way. What I remember, in addition to in the aftermath of that horror, was how Londoners came together. Firstly, at the mosque, we had political leaders from the from all political parties, from the federal and provincial and our own municipal level, and they all spoke very thoughtfully. And it's a tough reason to be, quote, put on the map, but they understood the pain that London and Londoners felt. And then a couple of days later, a friend of mine, Kevin George, the Reverend for St. Aidan's, pastor there, he organized a march. And it was gratifying. So imagine this. Imagine when we had the political leaders there, and outside the mosque, we had thousands of Londoners. And then at the march a few days later, thousands more that marched from the site of that horrific tragedy at Hyde Park and South Carriage Road. We all marched together down to Oxford Street and along Oxford to the mosque. And then it was a different kind of service than we had. It was almost, if you will, an interfaith service. We had members of the clergy of all faiths come and say a few words. No politicians, no one else, just clergy. And it was warming, and I think it gave us all some comfort. But it was Londoners coming together that I will also remember from this sad time in our history. And I recall connecting to the mayor of Quebec City, and we wrote a joint letter of support requesting that the prime minister hold a national summit on Islamophobia, and he did. And I recall that tragedy was a catalyst for us to, as a council, to support anti-racism, anti-oppression policies, put in a director and staff reporting directly to our city manager on this. I mean, there have been some outcomes that are important that we have done so that we don't forget, and that we, as much as there's something to learn from all of this, at the same time, what are the proactive steps that we can take from an awareness standpoint? And it isn't just government, by the way, Craig. This is all of us have to stand up and be counted. And I hope if there's anything that comes out of this tragedy is that Londoners, and they've shown it, they're standing up and they are trying to make a positive difference, because we had a great city. And we just need to continue to build on that. That is absolutely crucial. But you're never allowed to take it for granted.
Yeah, certainly not. And you shouldn't. And look, I'll ask you to weigh in on something that's been talked about in the provincial election here. But are you hopeful that the Our London Family Act gets passed? Is that something that that you've seen? Are you supportive of that?
Listen, I spoke in favor of Our London Family Act when we had a meeting with members of our Muslim community. This would have been prior to my surgery, so I think it was about, forgive me, two months or so ago. Mm-hmm. And it made sense to me. Here's the thing. No legislation is ever going to be the panacea, the answer to any community's problems. I think that's where individual responsibility and accountability I mean, what do you see on in notices anymore about different issues? See something, say something. And I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to see more Londoners speak out on these kinds of issues to say, look, if someone's making fun of somebody or harassing or using inappropriate language, speak up. It's not acceptable. And that might sound like a little thing, but it's not. And as soon as we all start to take responsibility for our actions and, yes, even the actions of others, then I think that that will, those are important steps that we need to do.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. Ed, I've taken enough of your time here. Is there anything else that you want to add or tell Londoners about as you sort of, again, there's 6 months to go, but as we get ready to sort of wind things down here on your time as the mayor of the city?
Well, the only thing that's going to wind down is going to be the clock. It won't be, it won't be the activities that we intend to continue working on. I spoke with the deputy mayor yesterday, Josh Morgan, about some of the things that we're still working on. Today, I spoke with the former deputy mayor, Jesse Helmer, about some of the issues that we need to continue to work on. My good friend, Councillor Sean Lewis, yesterday he and I have talked about things that have to be dealt with. So we're all continuing to play our part. For them, they're focused, not so much Jesse, because Jesse said he's not running again. But for all the council members who have indicated that they are seeking re-election, they've got their work to do that way, but they still have their roles as councillors, and I'm confident we'll carry on. From my vantage point, you know, I've been so honored to do this, and I mean it from my whole heart, to get the chance to do this role as mayor of the city at this time. There's no greater honor, and I feel absolutely privileged to be able to do that. So thanks for letting me kind of wrap this part of it up, and maybe we'll even chat again before we're all done.
Oh, I'm sure we absolutely will, Ed. I'm sure we will. And thank you on behalf of Londoners for your service to the city, for your service to the community. It's deeply appreciated. And like it's been a rough 4 years, so I know people do appreciate sort of your navigation of that rough 4 years. So thank you for doing it.
That's very kind.
That's Ed Holder, the mayor of London, joining us here on the Craig Needles podcast, which is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warrencliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of Blackburn Media.